A mixture of sports, culture, and entertainment. The Trey Wallace Show will have it all. There are no filters and the gloves are coming off as we break down the latest news. Joined by friends and colleagues, I'll give you my perspective on the sports world and more. From college football to the College World Series, there isn't a topic I won't discuss. Tune in to Trey Wallace Podcast.
He's always mistakenly British.
Tea and crumpets.
Cheerio.
But he's really a Canuck. Known on all seven continents.
Oh, I know who you are.
America's undocumented anchorman. He's a recording star and a TV star. Tuesdays, James Golden, a.k.a. Bo's Nerdly, presents Mark Stein.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, America's undocumented anchorman joins us, and we have questions. Mark?
Yeah, you're just asking me about the ins and outs of gay sex because I'm foreign, aren't I? This is that American assumption that anybody with a foreign accent is a practicing homosexual. I know where you're going with this.
I was making no such, I mean, Oscar Wilde, I mean, you know, no, Mark.
Yeah, yeah.
These terms, these books that are in Florida schools, these woke books that people are saying should stay in schools, teaching children all kind of things. I don't know some of these terms.
I find that very hard to believe.
Okay, I won't. I won't press the issue.
No, but... no, I own, I, what were they again? You were talking about rimming. I think that's something, isn't that something to do with American football? I'm pretty sure, and what was the other one?
Strap on
is a rapper. He did a duet with Rihanna at the halftime show a couple of weeks back. Strap on, I love him. I got all his albums.
And I wonder, after, did Strap-On actually sniff his own fingers, too?
Strap-On doesn't need to do that. What I find so odd about this? These are books that are in the classroom of American schoolhouses. Now, I had the misfortune to go to an English boys' school where you had to pick up the ins and outs of gay sex in your own time, in recess, which is what they'd call it. So, you know, you'd see a couple of the lads sort of emerging from the back of the bicycle sheds with a slightly flushed look on their face. And the idea was that if you were into gay sex, you had to pick it up on your own time because the classroom was meant to be for history and Latin. Now the gay sex is being taught in the classroom, and if you want to pick up a little bit of history and Latin, you have to duck out behind the bicycle sheds during recess and pick it up on your own time. That's how nutso and how inverted the entire educational system. The idea that you would have to – I can tell you something, having been to an English boys' school – and, you know, if you're out camping in the moors with the cadets, the military cadets, as I did, and you were trying to sleep, and a couple of the other fellas were getting a little frisky down the far end of the tent. The idea that you would have to teach gay sex in schools would be absolutely incredible. Anyone who's into gay sex figures it out pretty quickly. The idea that we were going to start teaching it in fifth grade, but it's so complicated, I think we should prepare children by starting to teach it in pre-K. This is bonkers. There's no education in American education. That's the basic problem. It's a great place to go to pick up. Oh, and now Miss Scroggins today is going to teach the second graders all about using a strap-on. It's pretty obvious to everyone except you, James, when you see a strap-on, what it's for and where it goes. You don't need to teach it.
Mark, you are at National Anthem. I hope that you were insulted by this, because I think we would find it insulting if someone changes a word in your national anthem. The singer, Jelly Black, I've never heard of her before, but she's very popular, I guess, up in, she's a legendary Canadian singer and songwriter. Yeah, she sang the Canadian National Anthem at the All-Star Game, and then she decides to change the words.
Yeah. This is, I, do you know, she sang, there was a poll, a couple of years ago that found out that 83% of Americans knew the first line of the Star Spangled Banner, whereas only 41% of Canadians knew the first line of O Canada, which is odd because the first line of O Canada is O Canada. So it wasn't a great result. The second line is, O Canada, our home and native land. And this singer at the NBA game changed it to our home on native land, i.e. implying that the white man stole it all from the Indians and the Inuits. And there were, I resent this slightly because 20 years ago, the last time they were going on about rewriting O Canada, I made this joke in the newspaper, in the National Post of Canada. I just sort of throwaway line. I said, O Canada, this is what they should change it to. O Canada, our home on native land. You know, everybody laughs and then turns the page. This woman is getting hailed as a hero for changing that word, our home on native land. It reminds me of something. The great Broadway director, George Abbott, the director of Pajama Game and Damn Yankees and on and on and on, he told me long, long ago, the quickest way to make $1 million is to take the thing that makes you laugh the most and play it for real. Because he'd done this play in the 1920s called Coquette, which was all about the morals of the Old South, you know, shotgun weddings and things like that. And it was written as a comedy, and in previews it was terrible. Nobody laughed at the comedy. And then he had this inspiration 3 days before opening night to just play it for real as a melodrama, and everybody in the audience is suddenly weeping with weeping with emotion. They're crying, they're howling. And that's what this was. She took my 20-year-old joke, and she's making $1 million out of it by playing it for real. I can't. I mean, I'm giving up on O Canada. They should have made the Maple Leaf Forever Canada's national anthem.
Well, speaking of people making money, Al Gore is rich beyond belief. And one of the things that Al Gore has done is come up with a nice little green-friendly investment firm. And it owns more than $26 billion worth of share in about two dozen companies that have been found to, guess what, increase gas emissions, greenhouse gases. In other words, he's becoming a multi-billionaire by the help of polluting the earth.
Yeah.
And no one finds it strange, I suppose.
No, he needs more money to fly around in his private plane spreading the message that you should be riding the bus and throwing out your washing machine and beating your clothes dry down on the rocks by the river with the village women folk every Tuesday. That's the thing. He needs all this money to be able to fly around telling you not to get on a plane to Florida. And so because of that, he needs more money than you do. And the way for him to get more money to preach his message of environmental responsibility is by investing in big polluting companies that make him a lot of money because of all the pollution they generate. So then he can tell you, the little person, not to go polluting. And that's environmentalism in a nutshell. Have you had a... Here's the carbon footprint of Al Gore's home. Have you had a look at him tracking all the pollution in his home office? He's got, like, all these banks of computers because he's like Blofeld in the Bond films. He's got a supervillain lair in his house. And the electricity required for it, he spends... At his mansion in Tennessee or wherever it is, he blows through the average person's lifetime carbon footprint in about 6 weeks. It's different for him because he has been endowed with this intellectual insight that enables him to fly around the world in private planes, telling you just to stay home, ride the bus, eat locusts, eat crickets, and don't pollute. That's his message.
I was stunned, Mark, in the New York Times, of all places, to find a story critical about Joe Biden's promises that he's made to hold the line on Social Security and Medicare. And what stunned me was the numbers. I knew that the CBO had said, okay, look, we're going broke in these things. But the numbers, over three decades, Social Security is scheduled to pay benefits of $21 trillion greater than they can collect in. Medicare is projected to run $48 trillion deficit.
Yeah. No, the thing about it, though, is this goes back to what you were talking about at the top of the show, about all the people are... People don't... The minute you say trillion, people don't get it, because it used to be just a word you heard in astronomy, and then the United States became the first country in the history of the planet to have it as a budget item. It had never... That word trillion had never been in a budget until the United States came along. And it's so unreal to most people, they can't even think about it. Whereas all this woke stuff, if you say... Oh, yes, we're spending $340,000 on Michelle O. What is it? They're
her trail.
The Michelle Obama trail. I was getting confused because Barack Obama's Kenyan brother managed to get some money to put up a Barack Obama Sr. memorial latrine on an interstate between Sudan and Kenya that you U.S. taxpayers wound up paying for. Lois Lardner approved that in Nothing Flat at the IRS. And the thing is that people could grasp that. I don't know whether we need a Barack Obama memorial latrine. People can grasp it. But the minute you say $48 trillion, it's so big, you might as well spend it because nobody knows what it is. And eventually, no one's going to do anything about this. One day, we're all just going to wake up and we'll discover that the entire country has fallen off the cliff and we're all in a big pile of rubble at the bottom because nobody, if you talk to anyone in Washington and look in to their eyes and you say $48 trillion, you can see in their eyes they have no intention of doing anything about that.
Well, combined, it's $69 trillion projected deficit, which is...
Yes, 69 projected. So we know that when it actually rolls up, it'll be $269 trillion. And nobody knows what comes after a trillion, whatever it is, cotillion. I don't know what it is, but that's whatever it is, they're going to have to start using that word soon. And it'll be some other astronomical term that is used for some galaxy, however many bazillion light years away, and that will start turning up in budget line items. This stuff only ends at the bottom of the cliff.
Well, before all of that happens and we fall off the cliff, we should invite people to join us in the merry month of July, hotter than July. When it's hotter than July all over the United States of America, you can be with us, hanging out in the Adriatic, in the beautiful Adriatic, on a cruise. Why don't tell people how to go about joining us in July?
Yeah. You and I are going to be cruising from Italy down the Adriatic, Croatia, Montenegro to Greece. Montenegro, by the way, that's an interesting place. They don't have trillion in any of their budgets, in any of their government budgets. They don't know what a trillion is. That's what such a beautiful cruise it's going to be. We're going to go to a land entirely unspoilt by trillion-dollar budget items. And there'll be you, and there'll be me, and there'll be one of my favorite female presidential candidate of this millennium so far, and that is Michelle Bachmann, will be joining us. We're going to have a lot of fun, and you can find out more about it by going to Mark Stein Cruise. That's Stein, S-T-E-Y-N, markstinecruise.com.
Mark, we will look forward to speaking with you next Tuesday, see what else is in the news, and by then, some of us may have discovered the definitions of those words that we tossed out a little bit earlier.
Have a listen to Strap-On's last album. You'll be playing it in the car. I bet you'll love that one.
James Golden, a.k.a. Snurley, coming back. Your call's coming up. Don't go away.